For life.
Yo, 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 what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is I, your mother's favorite podcaster, a.k.a. the Microphone Messiah, a.k.a. the current reigning defending Bulletcast podcast champion. I am joined by Brandon Tanguma, BT. It's Wednesday / Thursday. What's going on, baby?
Sup, everybody? Finally, a little peek behind the curtain, actually doing this a Wednesday night. It's been too damn long, but here we are. Talk a big, big week of wrestling.
Yes, yes, we are. We're just going to jump right into it all. SmackDown, this SmackDown, man. So Roman Reigns comes out there. Were they in Arizona? I believe they were near Glendale, right?
Glendale, yes. Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes, Glendale, Arizona. Romo's like, no, you guys used to be louder. He's kind of disgusted that the fans won't acknowledge him at the levels they used to. So he's ready to leave. But Paul Heyman says, we can't leave because The Rock is coming. Rock comes out there in another an upgraded callback to the Versace shirts and the $500 shirts that he used to wear back in '99, 2000. Comes out there, calls them what, crackhead Karens and meth addicts, and he just went off the riff. This promo segment went about 30 something minutes. It cut down some time. Like, I know people were complaining about Naomi losing to Tiffany Stratton in a short amount of time, but they had longer, but you know, the promo went over like 10 minutes over or something. Anyway, The Rock says his piece. The Rock's about to close it out. Roman puts his hand over The Rock's mic and he says, I'll do anything for my family, but I need you to do one thing and one thing only. I need you to acknowledge me. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about. And then we're also going to talk about what The Rock laid out. So thoughts on The Rock finally acknowledging our tribal chief.
Also, before that, we had a 21-minute Instagram social media video from The Rock.
Yes, where that blurred, it really blurred the lines. You know, because he's on the board, so he used the people's names, Ari Emanuel. He was like, you know, when we're making $5 billion Netflix deals, do you think that people are asking if Seth Rollins is going to be the champ? Hell no. Like, really just dialing in between the reality and kayfabe. This is new kayfabe. That's what this is. As Sam Roberts has so adequately pointed out on his podcast for well over a year and a half or so now. But yeah, thoughts on Rock acknowledging Roman, thoughts on Rock's 21-minute Instagram promo.
The Instagram promo itself, a little long-winded, little kind of all over the place, but going to SmackDown, it was very much in the similar vein, but I think they cut out enough of the fat and enough of kind of the details that didn't matter that much to where I thought it was a much better promo on SmackDown than on social media. The whole Roman Rock dynamic, you know, I kind of talked about this at the press conference where Roman has been very, you know, subservient to The Rock, maybe, you know, not bowing to him and doing all that stuff like Paul Heyman does, but he was just kind of in the background compared to what he normally does when The Rock isn't there. And they finally addressed it a bit with the acknowledgement portion. You know, he said he'll do anything for his family, so I assume he's on board and he'll go along with it, but maybe there will be some hiccups along the way. So yeah, Rock promo I thought was good. They finally did something with Rock and Roman interacting, because pretty much it's just been Roman does his thing and Rock does his thing, and they're not really together. And so finally they had a moment together, and we have at least two more appearances. I assume we'll have one or two more before WrestleMania itself, but I did like that aspect of it.
Did you say?
I wonder where else is going to go.
Did you say finally?
We're not doing sing along with The Rock.
We can't do catchphrase along with The Rock either. Huh?
Nope.
How about catchphrase along with the Microphone Messiah? Huh? We can't do that. Nope. All right. So The Rock laid out the challenge. WrestleMania Night 1, The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. If Rollins and Rhodes win, the bloodline will not interfere in the Night 2 main event of Rhodes and Roman for the undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight title. If Rock and Roman win, it's bloodline rules. The Rock might be on commentary, Solo might sing the national anthem, Jimmy's going to get involved somehow. You never know what's going to happen. So, I think Seth and Cody win night one, and I think Roman Reigns walks out night two and still the undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Champion.
I'm going to go the opposite way. I
think here we go.
Seth and Cody lose night one, and then Cody wins night two. There's still kind of the possibility of The Rock being a double agent, because like no matter what, like if The Rock interferes in Cody's behalf, it like there's still like some people speculating that The Rock is going to turn on Roman eventually, and then we're going to get Rock and Roman either at SummerSlam or next year's WrestleMania or something like that. But after all these twists and turns, and Cody originally, you know, challenging The Rock one on one, now we're getting the tag team match that we all thought was going to happen. I mean, it makes sense. I do wonder, kind of teasing maybe something people care a little bit more about. I think always people are going to be more intrigued in a one-on-one match than a tag team match, usually. And so, you know, kind of stepping back and saying, no, we're not going to do the Rock-Cody match. We're going to do a tag team match where there's probably going to be a lot of bells and whistles. I understand why they're doing that, because The Rock, he wasn't really in shape to wrestle a one-on-one match 12 years ago, and now in his 50s, I don't think we should expect him to do something like that.
He wasn't in shape to wrestle.
Well, he it was a very good match, I will say that. But if you look at the match, The Rock was blown up. I'm talking about the first one. The second one, I give him a little bit of a pass because he got injured. But
we're talking 28. Yeah. Which John Cena just did an interview with Chris Van Vliet, and they go in depth to talk about that time period. Go check that out. Shout out CVV, my guy. Yeah, listen. I mean, you know, I mean, that's why Rock had the tag team match, you know, with him and Cena versus the Awesome Truth leading into going into that, you know. So, you know, man, we could get Rock and Cody at SummerSlam. That is a possibility. You know, we don't know yet. A lot's to transpire. We still have a little bit of time. I've punched my ticket. I will be in Philadelphia. Made that official earlier today, so. You know, if you see the Mike Messiah, people don't know who I am. It's fine. But if you see a guy rock around in a Bully Cast shirt, come up and say what's up. Not only has that happened, Dakota Kai has turned on Bayley. This was kind of like she agreed to be with her, then she just turned on her right here and there. I mean, I was like, okay, I guess. But like, is she going to turn on Damage Control at WrestleMania to help Bayley? Is that where this is leading? Because if that's where this is leading, then I'd be kind of okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, people were kind of maybe thinking that it was all a swerve, bro, because it seemed like so obvious that Dakota was going to turn on Bayley, because we never saw Dakota get attacked from Damage Control. But, you know, at the end of the day, they, you know.
Oh, this is what. I'm sorry. I'm frustrated, and I need this to happen. I know fans want this to happen. Bayley's getting beat down. You know, Damage Control's. They're giving her the business, and then you hear the music. Michael Cole, could it be? It's boss time. I would love it so much. We all would, but it's probably not going to happen. So let me stop.
Yeah, probably not going to happen, because AEW has a show in Boss to next week.
It's going to be Rick Ross. Rick Ross is going to show up.
Accusations, false accusations.
That's one of my favorite AEW moments.
I still use that GIF all the time. I think I have it saved in my camera roll because I use it often.
That was Keith Lee's biggest AEW moment too. Let's be real. And he was a tag champion.
Yeah, they ran a nice little video package, and they I think they went through every single tag team. And I was like, oh yeah, Swerve and Keith Lee were champions. Oh yeah, they're showing Kenny Omega and all that. So anyways, back to Dakota Kai. It makes sense just from like a talking perspective. You know, we kind of saw in Raw, she was the leader, or at least a vocal leader. She was, you know, speaking in the promo. So it makes sense in that regard. But I just think like from the storytelling perspective, it kind of seemed a little bit too obvious, and you don't want to make your baby faces seem dumb, especially a freshly turned baby face in Bayley. So it is what it is.
It is what it is. All right. It was announced a couple days ago. The creator of Extreme, the man who was an executive, he was a creative leader. And of course he's a wise man, special counsel, and an advocate. Paul Heyman will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame WrestleMania weekend in the city of Extreme, Philadelphia. How poetic, how apropos. Who inducts Paul Heyman? That's the question. Who could it be? Because I know they're doing a tribute to Extreme that weekend also. So I mean, the Dudleys will be in attendance. I'm sure Tommy Dreamer will be in attendance. Do you get Rhino? Do you get Shane Douglas? Do you get Francine? Do you? I mean, who do you? Sabu, Rob Van Dam. All, you know, Punk. There's the opportunity for CM Punk. You know, but who inducts Paul Heyman?
You can pick a whole bunch of different ECW people. I would assume it's not going to be Tommy Dreamer. You know, there's a bunch of memes all over the internet right now about what, you know, don't let Tommy Dreamer in there, because apparently he said some bad things about Paul Heyman. I don't know if this is legit or just the internet, you know, being Twitter, but I think there's any which way you can go.
Who hasn't said bad things about Paul Heyman? Let's start there. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, because you could do like Stone Cold, because like the Dangerous Alliance thing, that's something you don't really think of.
You have Roman Reigns inducted in the Hall.
And, I mean, that makes sense as well, but Roman isn't really the character to do something like that.
No, he's not.
I mean, it'd be funny for Stephanie just because of their history back in SmackDown days, but you can't do Brock. Brock isn't a guy to talk anyways, but it is kind of like his career is just so vast and there's people he's linked with, but just they don't really seem like a good fit.
I mean, yeah, so, he's managed guys from what?
I mean, I think Medusa and him have a very good relationship. I wouldn't be surprised if she does the intro. So
yeah, Medusa, she will be at Marvelous Coast. That's happening March 23rd for West Coast Pro. You know who else is going to be there? A person who was announced today to go into the WWE Hall of Fame, the great legendary Bull Nakano. Dude, this Hall of Fame is great. This is an amazing Hall of Fame so far. I mean, I'm a fan of Bull Nakano. I don't know about you. Are you a Bull Nakano fan?
I'm a fan. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm like I know everything about her career, but someone who, you know, went to America, you know, did some good work. Obviously, you know, her stuff in Japan is very well regarded. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she, you know, she doesn't. She looks. She's one of the people who looks drastically different from their heyday, when they were a performer. I think she became like a. I think she did like some modeling in Japan or something like that. You know, in recent years, but yes, Bull Nakano. She will be at West Coast Pro Irish Cultural Center, United Irish Cultural Center, Saturday, March 23rd. Go check that out at West Coast Pro. I mean, I'm excited to go meet the legend. Jim Ross, good old JR, has apparently signed a new contract with All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah, he talked about it on his Grilling JR podcast, just kind of nonchalantly announcing that he re-signed. You know, there were some rumors and innuendo that maybe he's going to be a free agent soon, but he said he signed a new contract. It seems like it's going to be a year. So still, possibility, goes back to WWE before his career is over, but you know, he's had some up and down health issues the last few months, but I thought when he, you know, he had a decent job, I thought, at Revolution. I think it's the perfect spot for JR. You know, just have him come in for some big matches every now and then, or if he's healthy, bring him for a show, a Dynamite or a Collision here and there. So he's still got some left in the tank.
Yep. AEW Revolution, you did your recap. Under the Radar, episode 91, that is out. Ladies and gentlemen, please go give that a listen to hear the full analysis of this show. Look, I'll give my thoughts. Sting's retirement, I know a lot of people were kind of pouring out their appreciation for Sting over the weekend. It was nice to see the wrestling world come together for something positive. You know, usually it's, you know, just trashing each other and the companies they love and everything, but it was nice to see everybody come together to pay homage to a legend in Sting. We got to see him live at the Oakland, you know, when AEW came out here for the Collision. It was nice to see him, you know, wrestle live. The only time I think I've got to see him live, obviously you were at Mania when you wrestled Triple H. Just thank you, Sting, man. An unbelievable career that spanned over five different decades, almost 40 years. I mean, from Surfer Sting to Crow to Joker to, you know, what he did right now. I mean, just incredible stuff and impeccable work. Retired as champion. That's a rare feat in this business. Hell of a match with the Brothers Bucks, him and Darby Allin tearing it up. Ric Flair getting involved. It was good stuff. Takeshna and Ospreay, I mean, hell of a match. That brainbuster spot off the top rope, I mean, that was completely unsafe. I don't know why. I mean, being a guy who's been out there, and you want to do stuff for the crowd to please them, but I mean, that was just that one was like, oh my god, like, be careful out there, boys. Roderick Strong finally got a championship. Congratulations to him defeating Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy, hell of a run with that title. Kyle O'Reilly is back. You love to see it. And Samoa Joe remains the AEW World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, quick little thoughts. I mean, I thought it was a fantastic show. Probably one of AEW's best in quite some time.
Was it better than last year, given we were in attendance?
I think bell to bell, you know, just, you know, match after match. I think this is like one of the better shows they've ever done. But on the negative side, the TV has been pretty poor these last couple months. And then they put together one of their best shows ever. I do wonder if that's kind of feeds into like the Tony Khan bubble of like, oh my God, we put on this fantastic show. It's the best show ever, blah, blah, blah. So he's in his mind, he doesn't need to change anything, but there still needs to be changes to be done. You know, we're talking about Dynamite, which I thought was a pretty good show overall, but I wouldn't be shocked with Tony Khan and his little social media bubble. A good show is a bad thing for the company.
Why is everything the best show ever when he did, like, that's I've noticed that. Like, we just had the best show ever. Like, why does he do that?
He does it all the time. And like this time it was actually warranted because it was a very good show, but he does it. He'll come out, you know, he'll do like the collision and he'll come out for like the random shows or like, you know, off air. And he's like, oh, this is a great crowd. I love all you guys, which I get it. That's kind of being a promoter. But even when he does like media calls and stuff, it feels like he kind of over blows things. Like every match is the best match ever. Every card is the best card ever.
I don't know. It goes back to the criticisms and everything, which, you know, I didn't watch the show in its entirety yet. I got to sit down and really do that. Been busy with some stuff, but I've watched the highlights of things and like it looks fun. I enjoyed what I saw. I'm happy for AEW. I'm happy that they're doing this stuff. I can't wait to see what's next. But we got to stop with this is the best show ever. This is the best show ever. Like you'll know when you hit that territory. I mean. For me, I think Double or Nothing 1 might still be their best show. I mean, that, and then obviously, you know, you have the All In where Cole and Brian debut and, you know, and all that other stuff. But it's neither here nor there. AEW will not be liable for fans getting cut with glass. Yeah, so one of the – I don't – this was a crazy spot. And my friends are deathmatch wrestlers, so I've seen some things, but this Darby Allin diving off a ladder through a giant sheet of glass. Jesus, I mean it's flying everywhere. It was real glass, you know. This is
Crimea,
you know,
River.
Yeah, this is what CM Punk was talking about. This is one of the things he was talking about. Like honestly, they could have used sugar glass. It still cuts. Would have been fine. And you won't have people, you know, getting upset about shards of glass flying at them. And AEW, they claim they're not going to be liable. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I even thought about it in the moment of just like, I mean, not really the Darby spot per se, but especially like the Sting spot where he's in the corner, the glass is elevated. So it has kind of a farther, you know, farther distance for it to possibly travel. But, you know, that's... I don't know the legalities of all that stuff, but it's probably like when you're at a baseball game or like anything, it's like, we're not liable because you signed up for this. But if you go to a wrestling show, an AEW show, you know, a main level top tier wrestling promotion, usually you don't expect real claps to be possibly flown into your eyeball. But yeah, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just playing one on a podcast right now.
Yeah. I mean, guys, I mean, I've been to shows. Where, you know, you got the glass and light tubes are flying and you got to kind of cover up. But I mean, those are independents. I'm not exactly sure how the logistics of that, the legality of it all works out. But yeah, it's still it's not good. You guys can afford, you know, sugar glass. And honestly, nobody will know the difference, really. Jack Perry joins House of Torture. Jesus, I'm sorry. I saw that. Good stuff.
Yep, so Jack Perry joins probably the worst thing going in New Japan right now, so that's fun. Just a heel faction that it gets heat because it just gives crappy finishes and interferes and everything, and yeah.
Was this around like during Bullet Club
this is Evil's faction, so once Evil broke off of LIJ, he started his own faction, so it's, you know, last 2 to 3 years, basically.
Yeah, it was Los Cinco Bananas de Japón, Bullet Club, Suzuki Gun, and Chaos, right?
Yeah, don't wonder what's going to happen now that Okada's gone, Tanahashi's on the verge of retirement. Chaos is in chaos right now.
Yeah. Sammy Guevara, I forgot to talk about that. He's been suspended by AEW given the incident with Jeff Hardy in their match.
Yeah, it wasn't even the incident of the, I forgot what the exact move is, but he flew off the top
Shooting
rope.
Star.
Shooting Star hits Jeff Hardy in the nose, breaks his nose. And then after the fact, then he does his GTH finishing move, like a spinning, you know, knee to the face. And apparently that breaks protocol. Like me personally, it just kind of seemed like a weird thing. Like not the move itself, just kind of he's getting suspended for breaching concussion protocol. I mean, like in the heat of the moment, are people really thinking about that stuff? And it's very fast paced and very hard. And like, isn't the referee has a earpiece with Tony Khan in his ear? Shouldn't he be like yelling at them to not do things? I don't know how it all played out. You know, I don't know what happened in that ring, but just if it is completely Sammy Guevara's fault, this is what, like strike three at this point, three or four.
I mean, the Matt Hardy thing, he just hurts the Hardy boys. I think that's just what it is.
I mean, first it was the things he said about Mercedes Moné. Then it was,
yeah,
like, well, the Matt Hardy thing, that was kind of on AEW. That was on AEW because they should have just stopped that match in general. But then
I forgot about the Mercedes.
He got into a fight with Eddie Kingston.
Something
and then
like
he didn't
that.
Didn't he also get like in a little thing with Andrade? Was Andrade a different person? I forget. And then now this thing.
Yeah, it's just one thing after another. I mean, look, he was around here last year when AEW, you know, he came to Oasis show. He seems like a great guy. He really does. But I don't know what's going on. I really don't. Trick Williams, whoop that, Trick is back. Came to get some comeuppance on that boy, Carmelo Hayes. So we're going to stand and deliver with this thing, boy. They're going to stand and deliver in Philadelphia. The city of brotherly love is going to be the scene for brotherly warfare.
Should be a very intense match. Should be a fun match. Wonder if this could main event the PLE. But yeah, you know, Trick. He's kind of in that weird spot to where he's just so over, but yet he still needs like more seasoning and more training. So it's like, do you throw him into the fire and like put him in the main roster? I'm not even talking NXT at this point. It's like, go to the main roster and kind of capitalize on what he's doing, or do you kind of hold him back and keep him in NXT for like years to make sure his in-ring work is as good as it can be?
It's all about the foundation, man. It's all about the foundation. It's all about the foundation. Got to get that right. Got to get that right. Sean Spears won his debut, or I guess what, return to NXT.
Hey, Sean Spears never wrestled in NXT.
He's keeping his name. I like it. See, I like what's going on here. He's just keeping his name is outside of WWE presentation. He's still a perfect 10. I'm a fan of what's going on with this. I really am. Wow. All right, let's see what else we got here. Fan mail. Who do you 420?
Who do you?
The Rock's heel turn has been fun. He comes out in his expensive shirts, talks down to the people. Well, we haven't seen done in this era before, and it's great. But do you think they will put him on time constraints? Okay. It's The Rock. I don't think you're going to do that.
I did see something that most, if not all, The Rock segments are going to be at the beginning of the show, because especially on SmackDown, they have to cut like 2 or 3 minutes before the top of the hour. So it would just, I mean, it makes sense to put them on first, and then you give them a lot of time. They're probably going to go over, because they always go over, and you just kind of work stuff around that, because that is truly the most important thing. And there's not even like, it's like second and third tier, and then everything else.
Yeah, because I mean, like when Rock comes out there at like 9:45, and he knows he has to stop at like 9:58, he doesn't get the time to
you don't want him talking about how he's getting cues, and then you fade to black.
You know, you know how he's really, you know, he needs time to really feel it out and get into the mojo of things. So just let him come out at the top of the hour and be done with it. Alfie Lewis. Well, Cody finishes story. Let's say he and Seth win the tag match, and then another member of the Dynasty shows up, like Jacob Fatu or Lance and Hawaii, and then technically joins the Bloodline at a later date. Well, that's something. Okay, that's something. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what a lot's going on in the world of wrestling. We'll see what happens with any and all of that. All right, moving on. Monday Night Raw. Seth Rollins says he's medically cleared. Calls The Rock diarrhea Dwayne. So Rollins and Cody will be on SmackDown to answer the challenge and confront the Bloodline.
I thought this was a pretty good segment outside of the diarrhea Dwayne shtick. I mean, that was so bad. I mean, it just felt so Vince McMahon era where they try to say these like stupid little catchphrases and trying to get stuff over, and it just fell so flat. I mean, I like they got a chant out of it, but just let's not do that.
You remember when Seth Rollins was walking around saying "Sparkle Crotch"?
Vaguely, was that a Chris Jericho thing? Who was Sparkle Crotch?
Yeah, because Jericho let the sparkles on his trunks. Yeah,
yeah, it's just. Like, and he, like, stopped, thought about it, and he just, like, was so proud of himself by that. And it's like, dude, that was not funny. That was not clever at all. Just, let's not do that. Like, it's suffer and succotash bad, but just, like, kind of a different way. Yeah.
We're so far removed from that version of Roman Reigns. But yet people still bring that up. It's crazy. Drew McIntyre defeats Jimmy Uso. Solo Sikoa comes out there. Cody gets rid of Solo, then Jimmy Uso gets involved. Jay turns around, gets hit with a claymore, eats it. Mm.
Once again, Drew McIntyre just feels he's being ignored by Seth. He's not taking him seriously. And shout out Drew, just fire everywhere on Twitter. I don't know if you saw his latest tweet, but he quoted this video, the video of Seth just running past him, and he did the CM Punk All Out press conference where he basically called Seth Rollins an empty-headed, dumb duck. So,
wait, just, what? Hold on. Let me go to Twitter.
He's killing two birds with one stone right now. Drew McIntyre is flaming Seth Rollins while also flaming CM Punk. He's doing a fantastic job building two things up at once, and I think we're going to see CM Punk return, not like an in-ring return, but I think he'll be on Raw before WrestleMania. And I'm more excited for CM Punk and Drew McIntyre more than I am Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins right now, or CM Punk and Seth Rollins for that matter, which was the original WrestleMania main event, or probably main event.
Am I not following this guy? Like, what?
You're not following Drew McIntyre?
Okay. Here it is. I found it. Oh, what did I ever do to this world to deserve it? This is funny. This guy is having a field day with this. Oh my goodness. Seth Rollins said, bitch, I've been in fighting with my soul for the last 2 years to make sure jackoffs like you even have a world title to compete for at WrestleMania. Drew says, bitch, where was that energy last? It's great, bro. Drew McIntyre is hilarious. Who knew? When he was saying, hey, you cool cats and kittens during the pandemic, who knew? Who knew this guy? This is the guy that should have been walking around as WWE champion. This is great. I love it all so much.
And also, basically guaranteed, we're getting a Jimmy J match at WrestleMania at this point.
Oh, yeah. I could have told you that on day one, Ooze. You know, that's where we're going. That's where we're going with all that, yeah. Wow. What else happened? Nia Jax defeats Becky Lynch via disqualification because Liv Morgan gets involved.
Yeah, kind of having like a rotating wheel sort of things with, you know, Becky and Rhea, Becky and Nia. Now it's Liv and Becky. So Becky's just kind of the center of the universe right now. And Rhea's just kind of off to the side, which I think is probably not a good thing that she's like kind of off television right now, but just I don't know what they can really do in the moment to kind of build up this match, because it's just kind of like, you know, big name of the past generation up against the current generation. Like, you can't go out there and just cut 15-minute promos every single week. So just kind of giving something else for Becky to do in the moment, and then in 2 to 3 weeks when we're on the verge of WrestleMania, kind of kick that into gear.
It's something. Nia Jax is really just performing at a different level right now, though. I'm a fan. I mean, I've always been a fan, but I'm really a fan of what she's doing right now. She's just killing this thing.
And they, you know, they've done a good job of kind of building her up and protecting her to where she's a monster and she, you know, is laying everybody out and
She needs to do
she
something big at WrestleMania.
and it's a thing to beat her. I mean, we're still waiting for Jade Cargill to come back after WrestleMania or Royal Rumble. Internet says she's supposed to be in the Elimination Chamber. That didn't happen.
Do we do Bianca versus Nia? How about that?
I mean, they're really putting over that Bianca is undefeated, and I think you want to keep that undefeated streak until we get the eventual Becky and Rhea match, probably next year.
No, I'm saying like you can have Nia, you know, like try to be the perfect foil for that. Obviously, you could have Bianca go over, but just tell the story of like, you know, your streak's ending tonight, honey. Like, you really do
yeah,
that.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, at the moment, she's obviously not going to face a champion. So just kind of give her a credible threat, get in, get out in like under 10 minutes, and she adds another notch to her streak.
Absolutely. All right. What else happened? Andrade defeats Apollo.
Nice to see Apollo Crews back on Raw. He was at the San Jose taping. He was on main event against Ivar. Lost in this one as well, but to be honest, kind of forgot Apollo Crews with the company. So
that's terrible. What did you say?
I know. Shout out to Apollo Crews. I mean, I remember, you know, WrestleMania 31 back at it was the Evolve show, UHA Nation. I mean, that UHA Nation was special back in the day. And it's, you know, I kind of understand why he is where he is right now, but shout out to Apollo Crews.
Apollo. Love Apollo. All right, AEW Dynamite, Swerve and Joe defeat Bennett and Taven.
Yeah, started off with a Swerve promo in ring, and he basically vowed to be AEW champion again. I thought it was a really good babyface promo, kind of now that he's fully turned after the triple threat match. Joe comes out, you know, kind of taunts him, and then Undisputed Kingdom comes out and sets up that tag match. Wardlow will face Samoa Joe next week at Big Business. Probably some sort of schmoz. I don't think Joe is going to beat Wardlow clean, but if he does, that kind of sends a statement there. So, yeah, overall, it was good. And it's mainly the promo instead of the match itself. The match was just kind of like an angle where, oh my God, there's the ROH Tag Team Champions, and they did a job to the people in AEW who actually matter. Who would have thought?
Yeah, they gotta stop doing that.
Or you just not have ROH titles on AEW because people don't really care. Well, I wonder how many people actually know what title what Jay White is, because Jay White had the Trios title for ROH and he's carrying them around. I bet you there's so many people who watch AEW Dynamite have no idea what those titles are.
Yeah, that is a real possibility. I don't know why they're doing that. I mean, I've laid out the plan, you know, just have an actual brand split and like no Ring of Honor on there at all. But it's nobody wants to listen to me. Nobody wants to listen to me at all. Hook defeated Brian Cage for FTW Championship. Is this still a thing?
It is still a thing. They did a pretty good job kind of telling the story, because I've not been keeping up on Collision that much, to be honest. But, you know, they showed some video. They showed a video package showing some past their history in Team Taz and some of the things that have happened over the past couple weeks. So I thought they did a decent job building this up, because, you know, a lot of times in AEW, they just kind of throw a match out there. And if you don't know, they'll maybe tell you a little bit, but they're not going to kind of visually tell you with like a video package like this. And it was a, you know, decent match. It was one of Hook's longer matches. We got some thumbtacks for both guys. And yeah, it was good, I guess. But I was kind of more, I like the presentation of it more than like the match itself. Just, it did seem like AEW was trying some different things on Dynamite this week, which is desperately needed.
Yes. See, the tunnels are back.
Tunnels are back. I kind of like it. It's more of a stripped down feel. I like it more this way than when their previous incarnation, where they just had like a bunch of LED boards just kind of everywhere. Kind of like I always just love the, you know, 97 to like 2008 Raw, where it's just the giant Tron instead of like so many different things going on at one time. Just a giant screen is all I need. I just need one giant screen and an entrance. and I'm good.
Well, you must have loved WrestleMania 35 because that's what it was. It was just a giant screen.
That was the one in New York, right?
Yeah.
They all kind of, I mean,
it was the woman's triple threat, you know, the first time ever.
A lot of the WrestleMania set, not like sets, but just kind of like the Trons, because they just kind of like that long kind of stage, you know, end stage to end stage, just long Tron, kind of like a WrestleMania 31.
You're telling me 31 and 33 blend in the same?
Kind of.
33 was the one with the really dope ass set.
33, that was the
was
New
Orlando.
Orleans one. No, 34 was New Orleans.
Yeah, 33 was Orlando.
They
Shane and AJ that nobody thought was going to be that good, but was actually pretty damn good. Anyway, Okada is all elite. Wanted him to go to WWE. I'm not going to lie. I wanted him to try something else. Just be different, you know? But here we go.
He's doing something different here. The Young Bucks come out, announce they're suspending Hangman Page because he attacked Bryce Rumsberg. So looks like we're not going to see Hangman for a while. Kenny Omega gets fired from the Elite.
Good.
And then Eddie Kingston randomly comes down to confront them. I don't know why they weren't really talking about Eddie Kingston, but then it made sense because then the coin dropped and Kazuchika Okada came out and they swerved us, bro. Okada turns heel, attacks Eddie Kingston, and joins the Elite. So it's the Young Bucks and Kazuchika Okada. Presumably Okada will face Kingston in his first feud, which I'm fine with. As long as
Okada
they don't put
wins
those,
the Continental Crown.
I was gonna say, I hope they don't put those three titles on him, but they might just do that. But also teasing, I mean, in my head, like, okay, Kenny's fired from the Elite. Okada joins the Elite. It looks like we're gonna get Okada and Kenny sometime in AEW.
What number is that?
That would be 5, because they had like the trio of
Then they did one of the G1, right?
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying that I think this is 5, maybe 6, but yeah, I mean, you put Kenny and Okada and Wembley, Ospreay for the title. I mean, I know we're like what, 5 months out at this point, but those are some good tentpole matches right there.
Possibly. Jay White and Darby Allin promo.
Yeah, Tony Schiavone calls Darby to the ring. He cuts a very emotional promo, just kind of talking about Sting. And then I don't mean to laugh, but he's going to climb Mount Everest at the end of the month. And so he kind of went on this whole spiel of like, he might die. And so next week might be the final match of his career and of his life. And so if it is, he's going to give it his heart. He's going to give it his damnedest, and he's going to beat the hell out of Jay White. Then Jay White comes out. They go back and forth. Darby kind of called Jay White a clown because he hasn't done anything with AEW. Facts. So maybe this is the catalyst for Jay White to be serious. I'm not going to hold my breath on that.
Maybe he should have beat MJF for the title. I'm just saying.
I mean, is it too late for me to, you know?
What's going on with Maxwell? He's MIA like when he went on that rant and disappeared for a summer. We've heard nothing.
Well, he has like a torn shoulder and he has like a bunch of things he has to get checked out. So
what's up with Adam Cole?
That is just so crazy that one jump that tears up his ankle has just put him on the sideline for like 4 or 5 months now. And I don't even know when he's going to come back, but,
dude, it could be like that. I know a guy that sprained his ankle pretty bad, just pinning somebody. Like it's the craziest. They do all these crazy things, and the slightest thing will mess them up. It's wild.
It's probably not. I mean, it's not really the bones that's the issue. It's like the tendons and everything around the ankle.
Yeah, that's what really. I mean, when I broke mine, it was the tendons that really messed me up. So it could be like that. I was watching some old Adam Cole stuff in NXT. I'm like, damn, this guy was special. What happened?
Well, they were doing comedy haha stuff with MJF, and then they do this whole devil thing that really didn't have a great payoff. And, you know, I don't like to toot my own horn around here, but toot. I told you that devil stuff and the comedy stuff was trash, and look at where we are. AEW is not a great place right now. So
it is not. It is not.
Boom. You're welcome.
Ospreay defeats Fletcher and face off with Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, fantastic match, as you would expect from Ospreay and Fletcher. They very much played up that Ospreay just got cleared yesterday. I would assume That's a fact. I don't know why they would lie about that, but really good match from these two guys, as you'd expect. Good friends, former United Empire teammates. No angle of the Callis family turn on him, so I guess Ospreay is still a part of that heel faction, even though he's clearly a babyface. And then Bryan Danielson shows up, and they just kind of have a stare down, Bryan and Ospreay, that is, as they fade to black. So maybe at Dynasty we're going to get a dream match of Ospreay and Danielson. Which,
where and what?
Yeah, at Dynasty. Come on, Philip. Obviously, you didn't listen to Under the Radar, where I went over this about they're having another pay per view next month in St. Louis, Missouri.
It's called AEW Dynasty.
Yep,
I've been promoting WWE Dynasty for like a year and a half, so I'd like to take credit for this. I thought that would have been a cool name for a WWE pay per view. Even have to, Tony Khan he's watching what I do and he's stealing my ideas. I hate it.
I mean, I don't know if I'd call AEW Dynasty right now. They're probably like,
it's not a dynasty.
I mean, it's probably like the Seahawks. You know, they won one. They had, you know, they went to another one, but then lost. And
what classifies a dynasty? Well, like
it's different for different sports, but I probably would say solid 5 years at least of, you know, a core together running rampant and at least one to two championships in that span. Now when it comes to like basketball, that's when you kind of be like, you probably need some, you know, need like three, but then like baseball, maybe one or two, and then football's so hard, just like one. Football probably two.
So what, the Chiefs dynasty? I mean, that's what they said at the Super Bowl, dynasty.
The Chiefs are a dynasty. The Patriots, the Warriors
dynasty. Yeah, okay. Wow, this is.
Well, WWE is kind of like the Spurs. Well, I don't know if I'd say the Spurs, just because they've been there for so long. But then,
what
Spurs
basketball team
is
white hot right now?
I mean, I'm not really locked into basketball like the other sports, but the Celtics are the best team in basketball. But kind of like the war, or kind of like the AEW, haven't won a title with this core. Haven't won a title since 08.
Oh boy, oh man, that was a lot has happened since 08. Jesus Christ! All right, that's gonna do it for Superstar Spotlight. Sting, congratulations on retirement. Hell of an entrance with his sons. His one son being servicing, the other one being the Wolfpack Sting. Thought that was great stuff. You guys know where to find us. Instagram, the Bulletcast, Twitter, Bulletcast, YouTube, Bulletcast. Thank you guys so much. We will be back next week to recap more in the world of professional wrestling. As always, be safe and stay dangerous. Yes, sir.
This has been the Bulletcast. Thank you for listening.